Today, we have on Castle Country Focus, my resident expert in gardening in Castle Country. He's been around for just short of 100 years and know everything there is to know about gardening. Welcome, Pat. Thank you for joining with us.
Well, I'm not the best gardener around, but I've been around, just to put it that way. Just give you a little history. My grandfather used to be out in Sunnyside, and he did what's called a truck garden. He raised acres and acres of produce, and he would take them around and deliver them and peddle them around all the mining camps around. Years ago, when we had all these mining camps, they were no longer there, but people couldn't get fresh produce back then, and they were really glad to get it. He did quite well doing that. Learned a lot, and I think that's partly where I get a lot of this from, is it just came through the genes. I've always enjoyed gardening. My dad and my mother were both big gardeners, but so I worked as a kid growing up in the garden, weeding and watching things grow, and that's been one of my passions in life, is just to be able to see these things grow. It's just simply a miracle to realize what's going on within them little seeds, and to come back and reproduce themselves and make a plant that feeds us and provides enjoyment, watching them grow and being able to be involved in the process.
So, but what do we do at this time of the year when you know, the snow is melted, and where should we begin, Pat?
Well, this is obviously the time of year when people start thinking about those things and getting that spring fever, as we know. This time of year, of course, one of the first things you got to do if you want to start planting is start getting your soil ready. You need to put some amendments in it if you haven't done in the fall. As we grow things in the garden, they deplete the soil and the minerals and the nutrients that's in the soil. So we have to replace those back into the soil. And we do that by putting such things as fertilizer in it, mulches. Of course, manure is a good one. I've quit using straight manure because I always get too many weeds in it. But composted manure is kind of the ultimate. And if you can get composted manure, now there's a company over in over the mountain here, Mount Pleasant, over that way, that makes composted turkey manure. It's called Nutrimulch. And we actually sell it down at the Ace Hardware store, and I've really become a big fan of that. It's composted, and so it's all broke down, and the nutrition that's in it is readily available to go into the plant. So, and we do carry about a 1,000-pound bale down there, and we can put it in the back of like a pickup with our forklift, and it's a lot cheaper to buy it that way because you're getting more volume.
How much do you need to put on your garden of this turkey manure?
Well, really, to really do a really good job, you need about 2 to 4 inches over your garden. And depending on the size of the garden, you know, it takes quite a bit to do that. But I've been trying to do that every year, and I've sure seen a difference. Last year, my garden was better than it's been quite over 2 years, and I think it's because of that reason. I've been putting a little bit on in the fall, and then I put some more on in the spring. But I found that to be about as good a mulch as we can come up with. But we have a lot of other soil amendments too. You know, any kind of potting soils, commercial potting soils you can buy, put in there is good. There's mushroom mulch. There's a lot of different kinds of soils. And there's a lot of the soils now come with an enzyme that's down in there, and it's I can't pronounce it right, but I always call it mycorrhizae. I know that's not correct, but anyway, what it does, it's I can't remember if it's a bacteria or an enzyme. Anyway, it attaches itself to the root of the plant, and then it actually helps the plant absorb the nutrients out of the soil and get into the plant itself. And that's been a really good one, too. I've used some of that, especially with my tomatoes. And I noticed a big difference in the tomatoes by using that.
Now, I've heard we should add eggshells or calcium at any rate to tomatoes. Is that, do we need that in our area?
It's always good to add. You can put those eggshells back in there. The only thing about you need to remember about them is that they take a long time to break down. So they're not going to be readily available to the plant. It's going to take probably several years before they break down, and you're going to get to the point where the plant's going to be able to pick them up. So a lot of these commercial fertilizers that have calcium in it is kind of the way you want to go. Now, there's one plant that really requires calcium, and that's tomato. Tomatoes get, a lot of people have them come in and complain about this little, it's called blossom rot, a little black spot on the end of their tomato. Sometimes it's real bad, it's real rot, it makes the tomato rot. That's one of the main causes of that is lack of calcium in soil. So that is an important factor in there. But there's a lot of different nutrients that your soil needs, and the best way is to try to get a balance in your soil. There is some kits that you can get, and then probably my suggestion to it, if you really want to know, is to get a sample and take it to the county agent, and they can send it in the state. Now, there's a charge for that, but they'll tell you exactly what your soil conditions are, what you're lacking in, and what you're good in.
How much of the soil do you need to get? I mean, a shovel full or a quart or how much?
No, about a cup or something. It's not a lot. Just go out kind of in the middle of your garden somewhere where you think it's a representative sample. I know I sent mine in. I just got a little bit from several different places and sent it in. And they said my garden's had way too much salt in it. So I've been trying to water a little extra, try to leach that salt out. One thing that we do not have in our soils around here that you really need is iron and sulfur. And when you get your plants get yellow around here, and it's really prevalent in like peach trees and raspberries and grapes. There'll be a real yellow color and the leaves will be yellow. That's usually a lack of iron and sulfur. And it takes the sulfur to break the iron down so the plant picks it up. They work together. So, if you can remember that. But if you start out with
What iron do you put on, or what amendment do you put on for the iron and the sulfur?
Well, there's several on the market. There's a lot of fertilizers you can buy that's quite heavy in in sulfur. Ortho puts one out, or Scott's, excuse me. It's the same company, Ortho and Scott's, but Scott's makes one called Green Max. And it's primarily for lawns, but it's higher in nitrogen, but it's real high in sulfur and iron also. And so when you put it on, boy, it just makes everything dark green. That's one of the best I've seen. But there's other fertilizer out there that's kind of, watch for the sulfur and iron. And there's another product out there called Ironite. And you can get that, and it's good too. And it carries a lot of the trace minerals too that you need, like this calcium, magnesium, and a lot of those things. There's some of you heard this Vive Earth over in Emory. And that, one of the positive things about Live Earth is they have a lot of the trace minerals that you don't get in your soil. So it's good they have a soil amenity that you can get. And we actually sell that down to the Ace Hardware too. And that's a good product to put on too for those reasons. Because once you have a balanced soil, everything works together as far as getting the nutrition into the plant.
And I would imagine that would help with later in the year as far as fungus and diseases and bugs too, if the soil is healthy.
The healthier the soil, the healthier the plant. And, of course, unfortunately, there are things. I mean, the bugs and some of the pests and animals are pretty hard. They love healthy gardens, because they like to get into them because there's more to eat. Around here, too, it's not only just the bugs. We get a lot of deer, stinking raccoons that we got down here running up and down the river. Skunks are terrible. I've had a terrible time the last few years with skunks and raccoons in my corn. They can go in one night. We wiped out a whole crop.
One thing that we did pick up at your store, Pat, I don't think I've told you, but we got a rain bird that is a motion detector. And we put that last year because the deer would jump over our fence, come in and eat the tomatoes and whatnot. And we put that on there and it kept them away. But the thing I noticed is this winter, they didn't jump over the fence at that spot. They went down around where the tree is, and then they jumped over the fence to to eat our arborvitae. So they learn.
No. Yeah, well, that's good. At least they got them trained on one area. Maybe you need to put one down the other end.
Well, I'm thinking about that, yes. So
they are a neat thing. That's fairly new, by the way. They really work well.
Yes.
I've had a lot of customers that's been to come in and give me some positive feedback on those.
Well, it kept the deer out. Yeah, it kept the deer out. Well, yeah. Our time has expired here, Pat. Thank you for taking the time and visiting with us. And we're going to have to check out this turkey mulch. I can see that and the analysis with the USU Extension. Thank you again for your time.
All right. Thanks. Glad to be on here. Thanks for having me.